Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwen Scheltemer, and our guest this week, writer and artist, Sharon Ramsey Curtis. When you first get an idea for a book, is it in the form of a picture or does it come to you as a story?
That's a really interesting question, and I've had to do some thinking about that. For me, it's a kind of a complex process. The idea sort of tickles the back of my brain, and then there's lots of sort of rumination and thinking and so on as I go about my life. Sometimes when I wake up early in the morning, I seem to have an idea that leads me a little further along to the development of the idea of where I'm going with it and so on.
And it's a lot of people have that experience that early in the morning, when you're only half awake, somehow the dreams and your thoughts seem to gel.
Yes, exactly.
Get a bit further with your story or with your illustration. But what about Gladiola? Did she come to you as a whole, as a whole character?
Gladiola was the result of February in kindergarten. Now, February is a very dreary month in kindergarten. Lots of times it's way too cold to go outside. It's that icy, icy cold and so on. And I started looking for books about groundhogs because Groundhog Day marks sort of the beginning of February. Very little around. And so I thought, okay, well, I've always sort of subscribed to the little red hen theory of doing things. So I decided I would do it myself. And the first story of Gladiola, what I just took Ditto paper and a primary typewriter and wrote the words and made sort of stick figures for the pictures and colored them in with markers. And in an interesting aside, just in the last 2 months, I've connected with a young woman living in the US who was in my class, one of the first times that Gladiola was trotted out. And she remembers Gladiola. And because of the idea of shadows and weather and so on, I was able to craft a lot of games and things and puppets and so on around the concept of a groundhog. And that's something that's a little bit different about this book rather than the earlier book, is that there is a large section at the back of the book which contains ideas, games, craft ideas, and things like that for parents and teachers.
So what are the advantages of being both writer and illustrator?
Well, basically, you get to have it your way. It's a Frank Sinatra kind of thing. You're not sitting there writing thinking, oh, what would the illustrator do? And the illustrator isn't thinking, I have to make it fit in with the words. You get to do it however you like it.
So tell us a bit about Gladiola. What kind of character is she?
Well, that's a funny thing, because when I had a look at the question, I thought, oh, golly, I don't really know. And then all of a sudden I thought, oh, well, I think she's your alter ego, Sharon. Because, she likes old stuff. She's a little old-fashioned. She's independent. She likes to do it herself. I expect she prefers chocolate cake to squash, but I haven't asked her. I guess when I'm figuring out what she's going to do, I end up sort of thinking, what would I do?
When I first heard about the book, I thought maybe she was a little young character and that she just hadn't done this before, so she didn't wake up on the right day.
No. What happens is there's an alarm clock malfunction. Sets her alarm and it does not go off. And she solves that at the end of the book by inviting the children who live near her to come and have what's called the autumn ritual. She sets the alarm to make sure it's right, and they double check to make sure there's no mistake. And then she goes to bed and they go home.
Do you think she'll have more adventures and her stories will become a series?
Well, absolutely, because I haven't got very far along with it yet. But in the front and the back of this book, there is what looks like an old-fashioned map of Gladiola's Valley, where she lives. It's like on a scroll. In the front of the book, it's a picture of Gladiola's Valley in the wintertime. And then when you get to the end, and spring finally comes, you open it up and you see the scroll, which is a map in summer and spring. And in that map, when I drew the painting, I made a place called the Community Garden. And just this spring, I got a little bit excited about thinking that I could write a story about how all the animals in the community work together to grow a garden. And of course, my teacher, Bent, got thinking about all the ways in which I could encourage children to grow things. So the section, the parent-teacher section in the back, will be about how to encourage your children to grow things. A really strong memory for me when I was a child was I was a brownie and I went to my brownie meeting and we chopped the top off a carrot and put it in a little container and added some water and took it home and it grew. Yes. I was gobsmacked. I mean, I'm 75 years old and I can still remember the wonder of watching those frothy green greens pop out of this little nub of carrot. And I thought, if I can encourage that in any way, in any child, I would be thrilled to do it. And so that's going to be the focus for the story. And
so how about reading to us now from Gladiola Sleeps In?
Okay, I'll begin by saying that once upon a time there lived a lovable groundhog by the name of Gladiola. She lived in a comfortable bungalow at the edge of a field very near the great dark woods. Each November as she went to bed, she set her alarm clock to go off at 1:30 January. She dreamed of waking up in time to enjoy a cup of cocoa and pancakes before her big day on February 2nd. That is the day when groundhogs rise from deep sleep and check to see if long-awaited spring is on its way. One year when she went to bed in early November, she became distracted and forgot to wind her clock. Outside, it snowed and snowed and snowed. By the end of January, the snow almost covered the crooked smokestack. Just a tiny wisp of smoke was able to escape. February 2nd came and went, but Gladiola did not get out of bed. The wind howled and snow fell. Gladiola slept on. At the end of March, the children who lived across the creek and over the meadow found they were very tired of winter activities. They went outside to have some fun. They got out a kite to fly. The wind was fierce and blustery. In April, robins came flying back to the countryside. Everywhere they looked, there were big mounds of snow. No fat, juicy worms in the garden. No spring sunshine. Just gray winter days with skies like cotton wool. Inside, Gladiola snuggled more deeply into her bed. Outside, the wind kept on blowing and shrieking. In late May, she rolled over, looked at the clock, and went back to sleep. She was certain it was not time to get up yet. I can say that they live happily ever after.
Of course, like all good stories.
Like all good stories, Felicity, yes.
Thank you. We've been talking to artist and writer Sharon Ramsey Curtis this afternoon. Thank you so much, Sharon, for coming in and talking about your life and work. Where can our listeners purchase your books?
I have a website where people can go and have a look. The website is theartfulgardengallery.com. You can't order it from there, but you can phone me at home and in this day of COVID, we love to go for drives, and we can deliver if it's not too far away. And my phone number here at the house is 905-355-3257.
To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.